This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
And it is good morning to you and to you and especially to you. As you start this Thursday, spring, summer's in the air. Something's going to make you happy. Something's going to make you smile. Something's going to be beautiful. I've got to tell you, I've got a very special guest in studio. But I've got to tell you, when you write a song called Spring, and your name is Elvis Blue, I think we've got something going. Yeah. What, you're not on yet. You've got to like put the...
I've got to put buttons on. Am I on now?
Yeah, but we're playing your song, you see.
Yes, I'm happy with it. I'm feeling it. I'm excited. I feel a little bit of pressure now with that announcement. You know, the way you climbed into it. And it has to be good now.
So say good morning to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Now they got away. I try to tell my story, but
yeah,
nobody ever came. I don't wanna burn out or get stuck out in the rain. Let me feel your fire. Come on and let me in. I get stuck out.
Well, I've got to tell you, it's a very, very special show because, you know, we've got Elvis Blue talking about spring and stories and
yes.
things and beautiful things. Ryan DeVilliers is here, and I've got to tell you, I read something about Ryan DeVilliers that said something quite incredible. I'm greedy and hungry for everything. Was something that you said in an interview.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember where that was.
Well,
but
I read it. Plays Ms. Trunchbull in Matilda, which, by the way, is a showstopper and unbelievable. Jaco van Rensburg will join us on the line a little bit later talking about The Little Prince. John Robbie cannot join us because they're about to do a big interview with one of the other television, with Top Billing. So the whole of the pantomime is going kind of crazy that side. And I can't believe the things that are going on around me. The magic of entertainment, the magic of beauty, the magic of kindness. And this is why we call it the Unview, because we're the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. And there's a secret in it. Because my opening guest, who is meant to be on the line, walked into studio. And I'd like you to, let me just do this, because presenter, producer, woman of the year, Doreen Morris. You don't do interviews and you don't come out of your house. Okay. I just want to say this because the Unview is because the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. Who's ever thin enough? Who's ever rich enough? But guess what? We're always fabulous. That's the concept.
I like that.
Absolutely.
I really like that.
And we are enough. In and of ourselves, we are enough.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Because... You know, listen, we're all going to be on diet, we're going to be shorter, we're going to be older, grey, whatever. That's the thin part. The rich, well, I tell you, rich comes in many, many, many things, you know, family. But then people look at money, but then we're never that rich, if you think about it. But we're always fabulous.
Yes. That's
fabulosity.
True, man.
It's a cool thing. That's why it's called The Unview.
Yes.
Sumizian actually came up with the name together. He's now doing incredible things.
Yeah.
He wasn't in your idols.
No, he wasn't there.
Those years.
Mara was there and Gareth was there.
Yes, huh?
Yes.
Our time is 2010.
Yeah, it's a long time ago, man. He wasn't even born yet. I mean,
I
was in matric. And you're from Johannesburg.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's from KwaZulu-Natal / Eastern Cape.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. And the magnificent Doreen Morris is from Earth. Because guess what? When we were all little kids, okay, this person arrived on television. And I remember it, by the way, you and Manu Padiachi in particular. And everyone said, welcome to Mnet. And then we had open time.
Yeah, and it was open time. It was open time.
You weren't even born.
I had open time.
It was open time. You waited for it.
You waited for it. Eh?
Yeah.
And then KTV like kind of like slept out a little.
Yeah, because now when open time wasn't on, there was just this blurry thing.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
But that means that your Mnet is on.
Yeah.
But you're waiting for open time.
And you had Radabi.
Yes,
just on SBC.
Yes.
That's Doreen
Rabubi.
Morris present Rabubia. Correct. Help me here, man. Get involved. Sing a song.
Yeah,
but I've got to tell you, presenter, producer, woman of the year. Wow. 1984. Mm-hmm. You walk into the SABC.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask you to use another toilet. And another
cloakroom. Before that, when I walked in, I was announced and they said, your guest, Doreen Morris, is here. But you didn't tell us it's a maid. And that was the introduction to the SABC.
Ach, nie, man.
And then I did my interview and I did my audition and I knocked it out the park and I had to go for my screen test and I walked into makeup and they said, we have nothing for you. You need to go on air with your bare face. We just don't, because there was nobody there that looked like me, not security, not in the kitchen staff, not on reception, nobody.
Yo.
And then, of course,
it all happened.
Yes, like you say, a shift was 8 hours long, and there was no bathroom for you. And
you had to use a bathroom outside.
They didn't want to know. They didn't want to know. It was just, you know, don't ask, don't tell. Just handle your business on the quiet. We can pretend we don't know about it. So
but
I would
you went to the toilet, yeah.
Sneak in there when I thought nobody was watching and yeah. So on.
1984.
Yeah.
This has taken quite some time because I interviewed you 7 years ago.
Yes.
And then the last time you were interviewed was with when Madiba passed away.
2013, correct.
Correct. And I was lucky to get you on the line, and I cannot believe you walked into studio. I was kind of shocked, and I kind of freaked out, because if you talk about the legends of not only presenting empowerment, but producing Doreen Morris.
But I came because I just adore you, and I believe in always doing your best. And my best in this case would not be on the line when I'm just down the road from you.
I can't
love
believe
you, Alan
you walked
Ford.
In.
Nah. Everybody loves you.
Nah, but I love you. That's incredible. Can I ask you something? Mm. Do you know the impact that you created in the TV world, the entertainment world? Do you realize that impact? And I want to just remind people of something quite exceptional. Sun International owns Miss South Africa. They have for the past, I would imagine, I could get it wrong, 14 years, 15 years?
So 18 years.
18 years, okay. Mm. But when Karishni won and
Basitsana
won,
Peggy Sue
won, and Bernie Daniels won,
Sanya Rositi
won, you owned the pageant.
Correct.
You owned
yes.
Miss South Africa.
Yes.
You took Miss South Africa and you put them all on platforms. Let you see why yes. You're a brilliant producer. And this is what you did. And people forget that because they go like, wow.
And can you believe that was my first foray into producing? I'd been a presenter. I'd been behind the cameras always. And I was a host of Miss South Africa. And after the pageant, I would always give them notes. And then Sunday Times and Report, in 1994, they came to an impasse with a pageant. They just really didn't believe that they could take it forward. And they wanted to, you know, divest. Mm. So they came to me and they said, you have a mouth on you. You're always telling us what we should do. Why don't you buy the rights and do it? And that was my foray into producing. Live, 2 hours, 8 cameras. Deep end. Yes.
And look at what these people have done.
Yes.
With that platform.
Wasn't that such an incredible blessing? But, you know, Alan, we always focus on the ones who won. There are so many other success stories of women who didn't win that title, but they've gone on to do amazing things. And they're medical doctors and they're civil engineers and they're working in government, etc., etc. And that, for me, is just the biggest reward. Absolutely.
Remember, all you have to do is create the platform.
Yes.
And it shall arrive.
Yeah.
Elvis Bloom, your mother, piano teacher.
Yes.
Taught you the klavier.
Well, she tried. Here's the embarrassing thing.
Yes, I want to know. We died, you know, Elvis.
Because you don't listen to your mother when you're a youngster.
Yeah, we never did.
You know,
Do you listen to it when you at this age
and
at 39?
You're like, no, but now I do.
Really?
Yeah, I think I listen to it now.
Slightly.
You know, I recently wrote my parents letters to ask them all like deep, like really deep questions while they're still here. Because sometimes, you know, you grow up with your parents, but you don't really know who they are. You don't know what their biggest failures were or the things that scared them or what the best book they ever read was. Or stuff like that. So I wrote them this letter. But with a piano, my mom was a piano teacher, but I was like, no, I'm going to play the guitar. So I went for a few lessons with my mom, but I didn't really listen. Mm-hmm. And so after I had left home, I had to learn piano all by myself. All by myself, you know?
Okay, so because this is important, because we do this, Doreen, generally between 10 past 9 and 20 past 9. This is what we do. Correct or wrong? Here we go. Someone's got to sing something.
Oh, my goodness.
So here we go. No. Wait.
Yeah, hit me.
So, wait. I didn't say it's you.
Okay.
Doreen, yes. Can you sing?
I could try a few bars. I didn't warm up the voice, but I could try a few bars.
What is your favorite song? What could you do? If you were... What do you sing in the shower? Doreen Morris is going to sing. Not.
Oh, my goodness.
Elvis, please sit over there, please.
I'm so excited
right
now.
Ryan, just go sit over there. Ryan, we haven't got
we
to Ryan
so
DeVille yet. We haven't got to Ryan DeVille yet. Oh, I'm waiting. This, and I'm going
to... Come on, Doreen. What are we going to sing?
Shouldn't have. I start with a worship song in the shower, actually a gospel worship song.
Hit us. Let's go. We'll help you. Watch it. What is the song?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty lives.
Yeah, man.
Hallelujah. That's as much as I'm going to
do. Love.
And then it goes into like Pharrell or something else.
And what would you then?
Pardon?
Go into it.
Wow. Yeah. Everybody get up.
Okay, well, let's try. Doreen Morris is instructing. We might have a show. Get up. Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
I'm going to get
Elvis
up.
Blue. Come on, Ryan DeVilliers.
Oh, my goodness.
This is so cool. Ryan is so tall. I'm going to... I feel like Matilda.
No, I've lost the
first. Oh, please, we need a microphone. I cannot... This is what we do.
All right.
Okay. What are we going to do?
What song is this?
Blurred Lines. That's the one I normally start
with. Okay, just with something of it, because I don't really know it that well.
Ryan, you have to lift the microphone.
Do you know Blurred Lines?
I only know Blurred Lines. This morning I haven't warmed up, so don't ask me to say
that. I always sing it,
we're all standing up for something. okay, Doreen, come on.
No.
Listen, the man, I mean, one idols, has been in London... New York, albums, English, and Afrikaans. I can clever, he can do something. So, Elvis, what are we going to sing this morning?
No, we've got to sing. Come on, man.
This is what we... Doreen Stanley.
What's that song? My kids are onto it now. What's that dude? They just played... Gareth Cliff just played his song. I got sunshine in my pocket. I got that good soul in my feet. I can't stop.
Huh? It's Justin Timberlake.
Is it Justin?
If that wasn't good enough for you, what is?
Can you play it? Because everyone's going to sing it right now. This is what we do. Welcome to clipcentral.com. This is
my kids are into this song right now. Okay, yes,
go.
This is the tune,
guys. You need my headphones.
I got this feeling. Yeah, man.
I got this feeling.
Now, if my kids were here, there's serious dancing happening.
I do the dancing.
There's serious dancing happening.
Okay, but this is gospel. And use your fat proper.
I've got sunshine in my pocket. I got good soul in my feet.
This is isn't this fun? I mean, this is insanity. This is what we do. I know, this is why we're insane. Who's ever thin? Whoever is rich, but we're always fabulous. This is what we do. Sit down.
Sure. I mean,
please.
Are there webcams up here?
Yeah, there's stuff.
Oh,
who
my
cares
goodness.
Who's looking? Please, really. Remember.
No, we've done it.
Do you understand the rules?
Yeah.
Who's ever thin
Yeah.
Who's ever rich, but we're always.
Yeah, fabulous.
Fabulous. Yeah. Guys, I'm so sure. What an incredible lineup. And what an incredible show. Doreen, I want to come back to you for a second. Woman of the Year. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Mm. How did it feel? Because I watched you get the award and it looked surreal. And there were people that had tears and standing ovations, and it was Glamour Woman of the Year. And there were incredible bunch of other women with you.
Yes.
But sure, to have that title and to walk up with such grace, what did that mean to you?
Firstly, when I got the email, I didn't believe it because it didn't say you were nominated. You know, it said you are our Glamour Woman of the Year in the icon category. And I think I completely blocked it out because I forgot about the email. And then a week later, I went and I read it and I left it again. I thought, oh, they'll just forget about it. but it was a lovely compliment. And Alan, I'm always a little bit skeptical about these awards. When they say the best presenter or the best producer or whatever, because it's such an arbitrary thing. You can never say, it's like you're saying, you know, who's rich? Who's the thinnest? Who's the thinnest? Mm. It's an arbitrary thing. But when they say that we are recognizing your body of work that you have done over time, that made me think back. That made me go back to those beginning days at the SABC, being at MNET before it even had its name, being part of that founders team. Mm. And I said, I can work with that. I can receive that. And it was such an honor just to be nominated along the likes of people that I've always adored, you know, people like
Connie Ferguson, Dr. Cindy Fonsale,
yes,
incredible,
yes, Shekinah, people are doing so incredibly well in the activism and NGO sector, etc. You know, just really strong people, and that's what the citation was. It was about strong women who have made a positive contribution, and I absolutely, absolutely love that.
And what do you think? If you had to explain to people like us, okay, that are not, and I've got to say it, in their, like, the 60 number
yes,
area.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
People who don't have SASSA cards yet.
Yeah.
SASSA cards.
they don't know what those are.
What are SASSA cards? I just turned 40.
People who get government pensions typically have to get a SASSA card when you turn 60.
Ah,
and then you don't get your 1700 or whatever number rands per month. Yeah.
My mother turned 60 2 days ago.
Happy birthday to your mom.
Incredible.
60 is fabulous. Tell
and an
her.
Incredible woman, and I wrote this and I said, you know, an activist, a strong, powerful Lebanese woman who did things beyond, held her husband, her family. We did it together. An incredible. And I laughed on the 5th of November and I said, Mommy, you and I mean, proud to say you got like have your son in your 40s and you're still in your 50s. But tomorrow we turn 100 together.
Mm.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. And daddy's still around. Wow. And we've got my brothers and my family. It's a big fat Greek, Lebanese. We're not Greek, but Lebanese like insanity.
Mm. Amazing.
Which is magnificent. Yes. And the incredible part of it is that you start as we walk through the years, hopefully, to understand that, sure, stop sweating the small stuff.
Yes.
Start to create and manifest as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Stop worrying about all the interviews and how great your hair looks or how thin you are or how rich you are. Always be in the space that you can be with yourself.
Mm.
And that's incredible because you are in your 60s.
Stop comparing yourself with other people's Instagram posts.
Yeah,
because you'll always be unhappy. And the thing that Elvis said earlier, you know, about appreciating your parents, asking those questions, taking the time to understand who they are, because they're not always going to be around. I still have my mom at 88, and I'm beginning to do that too. She's quite resistant, but I record her when she's not watching, just so that
we will have
those memories in time, because we didn't do that with our dad. And there are things that we are only beginning to realize now and to appreciate now, and conversations that were never had, and you can't go back to that. At the end of the day, you know, your real legacy is the lives that you have touched and that you have impacted. It's not going to be, it's unlikely to be buildings. It's unlikely to be, you know, physical, tangible things that you created.
We talk about this, and I now want to find a bridge moment, because it's actually the most poignant bridge moment that you can get, is that you go off to Peter Turin, to the theatre, and then you watch a Roald Dahl book on stage called Matilda. Okay, now listen to this. It's a production about a child that was never loved by her parents and found love elsewhere in the process of that brilliance of what that child did. And to think about it, that it's kind of coming back to a very interesting point, that now we've got Matilda happening, we've got people talking about parents, and Ryan DeVillers joins us, and what a great production, Matilda. I mean, it's a second time, and it's unbelievable.
I'm so proud to be a part of it. Thank you.
I've just got to tell you about Ryan. Look at him. Look at how pretty.
Yes.
Dashing.
Dashing. Dashing and daring, courageous and caring. Sorry, this is not the gummy berry juice. But, and you must see him on stage playing Miss Trumpball. Miss horrible,
not so dashing,
shocking, horrible. This is quite an unbelievable role, because you haven't really done musical theatre, and you went for the audition in Cape Town, and you said to yourself, if I don't do it, I might as well give it a shot. That was your thought pattern, because I read all the interviews, by the way. So, and you walked in there and you got the role, and everyone went like, who's Ryan DeVillers? Okay. And someone said, I'll post somewhere, because some people are just really stupid. They said, like, but he's a man. Like, you're an idiot. Like, it was, you would never think that you were a man. But you were greedy and you're hungry for everything. And you gave it a shot. And how did, I mean, it's an unbelievable role. Tell me about it.
I know, it's an incredible role. And I'm so lucky and privileged to actually have this role. I didn't audition for it in the beginning. I just auditioned. I was like, okay, I need work. I'm an actor. I need work. I'm going to audition for a musical. I've never done a musical. Let me just give it a go. And then after a long audition process, I eventually got the part of Miss Trunchbull. And it's been a lot of work, but I've grew up watching and reading Matilda, oh my word, and I loved Miss Trunchbull so much. I actually watched the movie the other day again, just to like...
She's horrid.
She's lovely.
And then, she's not lovely. She's horrid. But she was an Olympian.
She was, yes. And I don't know, but there is something like... There's something sad about her as well, you know, which I think everyone can sort of identify with a little bit, like our mean sides, or, you know, like everyone can identify a little bit with someone like that. Obviously, she's like an extreme character.
Ryan, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to just tell you something, because I'm coming back to Doreen for a second. Doreen, do you remember when people entered Miss South Africa and they won the titles? And we've seen it recently with Rolien Strauss in particular.
Yes.
And she did her role and she did her thing, and then she ended it and she got her... She became a doctor, a medical doctor. So Ryan is still trying to finish his BCom in between what you're doing, which is quite unbelievable.
Just going slowly in between all of this.
But you'll do it.
But isn't that incredible?
You'll do it.
So you're doing finance on the side. You're like, like you're writing your papers. You're running around like a Looney Tune. And it's incredible. I mean... And
that happens so often.
But that's the key, is that you need someone to unlock something that you're doing. For you to be able to express yourself and get to the goals that you need, I guess.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You mentioned pageants, and there's so many examples of that. You know, Bussy interrupted her studies, won Miss SA, went and completed her studies. Sonia Rossiti went back and did her master's afterwards. It happens, and it's so wonderful about the time in which you live.
I mean, Peggy Sue went off to Oxford or Cambridge.
What? University of Manchester.
Yeah, somewhere incredible.
And did her master's.
Yeah.
Yes, in economics. And now is managing this huge investment portfolio at Investec. And when we met her, she had done part-time modeling. She'd worked in a club as a hostess. And she'd worked on her granny's pig farm. She could tell you everything about raising piglets and taking them to market. Now she's this high-powered business woman who can explain, you know, complex investment theories that, you know, I can't even fathom.
Yeah, shows you. That's the magic. That's how it goes. So, Ryan, now, sing something.
Oh, no.
Shame.
It has to be Barry White. It has to be Barry White. Or something like...
It has to be something so low.
Yeah, but like maybe that only whales and elephants can hear.
Yeah. So I'll sing something, but you guys won't hear it.
Okay, go with it.
Okay, there we go. I've done it.
Yeah, it was too low for us to hear. The whales are freaking out right now, and the elephants too.
It vibrates on a different level, Alan.
Elvis Blue, the name is very well known.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Since 2010. But why Elvis and why Blue?
Yeah, because Jan Wichendijk, which is my real name.
I know, that's what I was going to get to.
it's not rock and roll at all.
Dames en heren,
Jan Wichendijk. Look, I tried. I actually did try. I released two albums with that name.
Really?
Really. No one bought them.
And what did you sing on them?
Look, the music for me, it was... I loved the music. It was. They were two gospel albums. I was about 26 and 28 when I released those two albums. Mm-hmm. Before those two albums, I released three other albums under another name. Mono was a band, but no one bought any of those albums. So, you know, I was starting to think, you know, maybe you know, learning, and okay, this doesn't work, and maybe this would work. But I knew Jan Wichendijk wasn't going to cut it, even though I'm quite wild about the name. It was my grandpa's name, and you know, but. And so I met someone with the name Elvis Blau, who was this young kid, and it was very, very cool. He was at my wife's work, but she did marketing for a hospice and a children's home in George. And this kid was really, he was just a cool kid, man. He wanted to play keyboards, he wanted to be famous, and I told him we should change his name to Elvis Blue. And I thought it was really cool, and he did too. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, about 2 years after I met him, he was in the hospice. He passed away. Mm-hmm. And about 2 years after that, I was 30 and no one bought any Jan Wichendijk albums.
And so the angel in heaven like popped in and said, how's
it? And this name, I couldn't think of a name. But I knew Jan Wichendijk wasn't going to work. If I walk up there with Gareth Cliff, Gareth is just going to laugh at me at Idols. And so the only name I could think of was this name.
Elvis Blue.
It was either going to... totally bomb. Mm-hmm. Or it could maybe work, but it felt right, and so I gave it a go.
Next, that's what a story. I'm gonna cry.
It's a weird story. Do you know what's so weird about it? Is that sometimes things you think are very insignificant. Mm-hmm. Because now you're sitting in a little room in George, in the Western Cape, in a hospice with someone. No one even knows about it. You think it's quite an insignificant meeting. But things like that, it's the small things often. That has the biggest impact. The things that no one sees often has the biggest impact on your life. So this kid, and this meeting was actually something that completely changed my entire life. I think it had a lot to do with, because, you know, I think it had a lot to do with what happened to me. Yeah, it's weird. So weird.
Impacting lives.
Yeah, that's what we...
Impacting lives, that, relationships,
that happened.
Love, and that's incredible. And it goes back to busking in London and Scotland.
Yes, man, that was fun, eh? Started out in Rosebank, eh?
Really?
I was a waiter. at the pad points. Yeah. I was one of the first acts. The security guards didn't actually know what to do with me. They hadn't seen something like this. What is this dude doing here? And I would just play. I had three songs.
What were the three songs?
I think The House of the Rising Sun was one. Yes. Heaven from Brian Adams.
Yeah.
Baby, you're all that I want.
Okay, whoa.
No, I'm not gonna.
No, you're gonna. Because if Doreen did it, you're gonna do it.
I've already sang like three times now, man.
So hold on, you're busking. Pretend this.
When you're right here in my arms, finding it hard to believe we're in heaven. And then someone maybe gives me four rand.
Let me see what I've got.
Finish the song.
No, man. Hold okay, you're giving me some money.
Yeah,
love
right.
is all that I need. When you it's a 50. Here in my arms. Oh. I've got to sing. We're finding it hard to believe, you know, we're in
Keep
heaven.
Keep the 50, sing, please.
I've got my 50. Okay, so there I was, busking, and it was really fun, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took my guitar and went over to Scotland and
London,
and did the same thing there at Bay Points, you know.
Do you know, I did an interview with an incredible businessman called Clem Santa.
Yeah.
And Clem started, he put himself through university busking in the subways of London.
Wow.
No one knows Clem can sing. Hmm. Besides all the books and the how many,
yes.
how the dog found his watch or what, you know, I just get so confused. The monk found the Ferrari, he didn't write that one, but right. he wrote many, yeah. the yeah, turtle.
He's
and
one
the,
of the world's great futurists.
Yes, correct. And he was busking in London as he was doing, making money for Oxford. This is how it works, I guess.
Yeah, I think so, eh? I think so. You kind of walk your little path and do your
inspiration place. Walks as you walk through everything you can take from it.
Yeah.
Because if nothing inspires you, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's true, eh?
And you've got to be very diverse in this business.
Yeah.
You can go from presenting to producing beauty pageants to making great television programming.
Okay.
Thank you. But before that,
yes,
you taught. And in order to pay for your teaching, you're a domestic worker. I clean people's homes, white people's homes, black people's homes, and I'm still in touch with them. And that's again comes back to this thing of relationships. I'm still in touch with those families. They all live abroad now, but they have these bonds with South Africa. They come back, they've bought property here, and they connect with me every time they come back.
That's quite amazing, actually. Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. Doreen, where did you realize that presenting, that's what you wanted to do, that you were going to take yourself? And because the minute we all do this, we're on a public platform, okay? And when we reel about it, there's a lot of ups, there's a lot of downs, and this world is something that I do every week, and I explain to people that you're not just going to get there. You're just not going to get that title. And especially if you just get the, like, the voice or whatever it is. I don't want to discount anyone from it, but it's sometimes false hope, because selling false hope is stupid, because you can't deliver on it, or you're not giving the tools for people to deliver on that tool, that gift. When did you realize that you had the gift and that's what you wanted to do and you wanted to be on that platform?
I never did. And that's one of my theories, that sometimes you don't see your latent talents, and very often it takes somebody to recognize that in you and then to take your hand and walk that journey with you. So in my case, I went for an interview at Naspers. I was tired of teaching. I wanted to be a secretary. And in the lift, I started speaking to somebody. And I said, look, I'm applying for the secretarial post, not knowing that I'm speaking to the person who's meant to interview me.
Mm.
So, and this person turns out to be Chris Becker.
Yeah.
And he says, at the end of the interview, says,
So you're in the lift?
Yeah.
And what are you asking him?
Oh, we selected the same floor. Do you?
Okay. So it's like this coincidental.
Yeah, just totally coincidental. You know, yeah, do you happen to know? Okay. I'm here for this interview. I'm certain Chris Becker. You happen.
And it's him.
That's funny. And yeah, it's like, do you work here? Kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Waiting for the lift, because he's on the executive floor, so it takes a long time for the lift to go there. And then at the end of the interview, he says to me, thank you for coming in, but you're not getting this job." And I go, "Okay, all right. That's very rude."
It's very rude,
and
Chris.
then he says, "I think you need to be on television," and he scribbles down a number, and he says,
"Wow, that's amazing, actually.
I'm going to just keep this number. I'm going to get in touch with some people. Mm-hmm. And that same day, he calls me back and he says, on such and such a day, you have an interview, an audition at such and such a time. You need to be dressed exactly the way you were dressed today and enjoy. Mm-hmm. Have fun. And 3 weeks later, I was...
That's insane, man.
I was on television. The first...
Was
first
that your first
black
audition?
First audition for anything. For anything.
Wow,
I was convinced it wouldn't last. So I had no fear. I had absolutely no fear when I walked in. I was just going to, like, an hour before I went live on air. And in those days, SABC One still had 4 million viewers guaranteed a night. And I called a couple of friends and my family and I said, you need to watch television at such and such a time, because I was convinced that it would be a once-off thing. So I went and I just breezed through my evening and went back the second time. And the third time, then I started getting like nervous, like, ooh, this is serious. This is becoming a job. And then the backlash came, because now I started getting death threats. And the SABC didn't keep it from me. They would show me these photographs of myself either torn to pieces or like, you know, blood splattered or like a noose around the neck. And remember, black people didn't consider the police their friends in those days. You know, the police were there to harass you and to persecute you, actually. But then again, I went to my mentor, I went to Chris Becker, and I said, listen, this is what's happening. What do I do? I feel very vulnerable, because you had to walk out of the steps of the SABC into down to Henley Road and get into your car. And one of my fellow presenters one night said something on air that offended somebody, and the person actually came and gave them a Thai club. So I felt very, very vulnerable. And Chris called Brixton Murder and Robbery Squad and spoke to the guys there and said, listen, who of you would be prepared if she called you? Who of you would be prepared to go to her aid? And two guys put up their hands. So, yeah, having to have police protection to go and do your job, because people have an issue.
That's rock and roll.
Because you are speaking their language and appearing on their channel.
It's insane. My name is Alan Ford. This is cliffcentral.com, and this is The Unview, where we are the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. We're not sure exactly who we are through the process, but we're always fabulous. And it's really good to be with you this morning with the three very special guests in studio. Doreen Morris, presenter, producer, woman of the year, glamour woman of the year. Elvis Blue, winner of Idol's 2010. His new song is called Spring on the album Stories.
That's correct.
It's just been released.
You just got it. You nailed it.
And Ryan DeVilliers, who's greedy and hungry for everything, and is in one of the most phenomenal productions called Matilda. Every child has got to see this.
And adults.
Every human. Sorry, every human being has got to see this. And let me tell you the secret in Matilda, which I love that you do. And that... Stephen Jabba does as well.
Yes.
Is that they make, they say, you must watch the TV. Must watch the TV. Must, don't read books. You're not going to get anywhere. Watch the TV. Doreen, I'm sorry. But I'm telling you, kids are like, we need to read books. I walked out there going, what books have you read lately? Like,
by the end of it.
Like Tuesday with Mario, oh my God. I don't know anything in my head. I don't have to even move a pencil or a chalk. It's exceptional. So thank you for being with me in studio. This is incredible, and it's such a pleasure and an honor. Elvis Blue, what an inspirational story, and you're a dad. And what is it like now seeing your kids, well, going crazy and seeing their dad as this icon? 2010 was an exceptional year for a couple of reasons. World Cup, incredible. Nicole Flint won Miss South Africa. Madiba couldn't get up properly, but they put him on that golf cart and went around the stadium.
Yes,
I kind of remember stuff. I don't know how it happened.
Amazing. I was there.
This man won Idols. And you weren't young, honey. Like, you weren't a youngster. The man was 31.
Yeah, 30 years old.
30, yeah, could
and Ryan was writing Matric.
And yeah, Ryan was writing Matric. In KwaZulu-Natal.
In East London.
East London. Shame. Yeah. You really shifted, eh? What happened to you? Well, we'll come back to you in a second. Isn't that incredible to think that, look where you've come?
Yeah, it is wild, eh? I mean, yeah, since I was young, that's all I really wanted to do. But it really is crazy. Having kids is a wonderful thing.
What have they taught you? Remember, you're writing a letter to your parents.
Yeah.
To ask them the questions. Yeah, you got to ask the question to yourself and imagine what they're going to...
I look at my parents so differently, eh? Mm-hmm. Like I always thought my parents knew exactly what's going on and what's happening. And now that I'm a parent, I mostly don't have a clue what's going on or what I'm doing.
I love how honest. Isn't this great?
But I'm trying my best, but I don't know. I haven't had kids before. Mm. So I often tell that to my
kids. I don't have kids. So
I tell that to my kids. I this is my first time. I haven't had an 8-year-old or a 5-year-old. I don't know. But I look so weird because now I look at my parents differently at what they actually did for me that I wasn't aware of how much they thought of me while I was fast asleep in my bed, you know. So it's taught me a lot about my own parents. I guess that's the biggest lesson they taught me.
There's another lesson in it. Doreen, perhaps we can share something here, but sometimes you understand they only had the best tools they had with what they had to do with it, they could do with it. So those are the only tools they had. And so if you have the best intentions with the best tools, it might not have been perfect, but that's how often you then start to forgive or go like,
My parents got divorced when I was five, and we were four kids in the house, and my dad left. And now I've got two kids, and when I turned the age my dad was when he left, I was thinking a lot about how his life was, you know, and how little support they had in those days, you know, just to talk openly, have conversations about what's happening in their lives, like men, you know, and, you know, so I was always very angry with my dad for leaving, but when I was the same age as him with only two kids in the house battling mentally, and you know, my wife and I just kind of getting through it with nappies and finances and everything, and then I was like, no man, I can, it still wasn't cool, but I can see how it can quite easily
roll into something.
It could happen to me too, you know. So yeah, it makes life, it's weird when you're young, you know a lot of stuff.
And when
you're older, you don't know very little.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you get to the Sasa age, then you realize that you know even less. Yeah. And then you do become, I think, kinder, gentler on yourself and towards other people.
More forgiving.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
More understanding. And
but then do you become okay with knowing less? Because at the moment, I feel like I know nothing, and then but I'm so stressed about it.
But it... Honey, it becomes totally
all right.
Cool.
Yeah,
it becomes,
seriously does.
Like, I'm
completely okay. Like yesterday, I had to do this like tough voiceover thing, you know, and then the agency like, "Are you happy with that?" You know, I'm so happy with that. Do you think on my deathbed I'm going to think about that commercial that I did today? I think not.
I love that. That is so cool.
Honestly, you just give yourself freedom. Mm. Your eyesight goes a little bit, so you don't see the imperfections in yourself. You look at yourself in the mirror like, oh, God's handiwork is fabulous.
I'm dating someone incredible. He really is. He's incredible. And I said to him, and he's gorgeous. I mean, he's just incredible. I'm like, I said, you know, my angel, you do know that this is never going to be 6'4". It ain't going to be thin. It ain't going to be that, like, whatever. You're going to think. And he's like, I really, like, dig you for who you are. And you go like, yeah, because I should dig myself. Because you do. Yes. You start to go like, get on with it.
Yes.
And you got to have happiness, and you got to find joy. And the minute it doesn't work for you, you have to get through it.
Yanni.
Yes. Elvis Blue. Yanni. Yes. His name Mikey. Jan. Who got it, Jan?
That's a lekker. Who got
it, Jan? That's a song you should have sung. That's a lekker.
Really funny boss
film. But Alan, on this thing of aging, can you imagine if I took over the pageant and tried to compete with those young, beautiful 19-year-old, how stupid would that have been? You know, it serves no purpose. You know, You need to be okay with who
but
you
she's
are.
So beautiful.
At your God bless you. You're beautiful.
When you see him on stage, he is not that pretty. I promise you.
It's just a role. It's just a role he plays.
All I'm going to say to you is when the man runs and jumps and does that flip across the whole stage, it's incredible. Please go and see the show.
We have to.
Yeah.
I'm going to use my 50 rand that I've got.
No, don't worry. We can speak to Mark Sage. We can speak to Peter Turin.
We have
my
to.
50 rand, yeah.
I'm trying to get hold of Jaco van Rensburg, the Little Prince. Have you seen the Little Prince?
Not yet. I really want to see it.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And he's incredible. The number does not exist. So clearly, I put the wrote down the wrong number. But genuinely, I don't. But let's see. Hold a second. You see, this is what happens when you're all over the place. There we are. Just check. 97, not 94. Got it wrong. But it happens. How you do when you produce and direct yourself?
It's tough, huh?
You get this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It ain't
yeah.
easy.
But that's our lives in the digital age.
Yeah.
Remember before you used to have a big team that went in to do a recording of any nature and now with digital it just makes it possible for you to just be portable and do so many functions.
But being authentic and doing the work properly. And I still want to explain something to you, a lot of people that you can all comment on. The discipline is important. You will never get on stage Elvis Blue and not make sure that the best is not around you. That's discipline. You would never create a television show on CakeNet or any other show for that matter, or Miss South Africa in those, unless it was to the best perfection possible. As I produce myself and present myself, you understand what I'm saying to you. Ryan, you would never play Mrs. Trunchbull every single night unless you could not do that perfectly. That's why the mechanism has to be perfect as you can do it. That's the key.
Yes.
If you think you're going to stand on a stage, sing a song and get away with it, I promise you, you've got two or three chances, if you're lucky. If you're lucky, because you get caught out. That's why the X factor and the talent and what it is something exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
It's your lit gift. But if you cannot pull it off constantly, you ain't got it. That's how simple it goes. So don't shoulda, woulda, coulda it.
And in this digital age, if you don't get it right, you end up being a meme. It lives on forever in cyberspace.
Gosh,
you know, it'll come back to scary. Haunt you.
Yeah, you'll be Milli Vanilli.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you'll be Milli Vanilli.
Or you could be Parliament. South African Parliament.
Yes.
Yeah, you could turn...
Wow, we're going mad. This is how it goes. So, opening at the Peter Turin Theatre... And we love what's happening throughout South Africa, by the way, in terms of theatre and television and music. And we've got the best sitting in studio. Jaco van Rensburg, welcome to the show. Jaco, how you doing?
Good morning, Alan. Good in yourself.
Well, first and foremost, you know, I get so surprised by you every single time we chat because I can't believe what you're doing in 1 year. Firstly, Avenue Q was exceptional. You went on to create Peter and the Wolf. Now the Little Prince, the Christmas Carol comes out. And I'm going to tell you, as a producer, as a choreographer, as a whatever you are, brilliant. it's not easy. And in studio, we've got Doreen Morris, Elvis Blue, and Ryan DeVilliers. And I kind of think, wow, Jaco, you took a leap of faith. The man took a leap of faith about 2 years ago and turned the world upside down. And welcome to producing.
Thank you very much. I'm learning as I'm going.
The Little Prince, tell us about it.
So The Little Prince is entertainment that we created aimed at 13-year-olds and older. We found that there was a lot of children's theatre going on and there was a lot of grown-up theatre going on, but there wasn't really something for the cool teens who don't necessarily want to identify as children, but they also don't necessarily want to get stuck into the sort of Shakespearean world and the world of drama yet. So we decided that The Little Prince was a palatable sort of thing for that age group, and we tried to turn it into a little mini musical, what we call a mini musical. And it's not called mini because it's for children, it's called mini because it's an hour long.
And that's sometimes what you need, just like something, a quick, beautiful fix, which is lovely.
Fun.
Something that you need sometimes, you just need an hour to tell the
yeah,
story.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you think that you, sometimes a concert or a show can go on like for like 2.5 hours, you're going, please cut out the seventh, the fifth song, we're bored. What the hell's wrong with you? You know?
Sure, but it's also a tiny little book, so we didn't want to flesh it out. We just sort of wanted to get the message across. And it deals with, it's a very interesting piece of writing, actually. The book is the most translated book outside of the religious canon. Mm-hmm. It's been translated into 250 languages. And it is very ethereal. It sort of deals with this aviator or pilot who crashes in the Sahara Desert and stumbles upon this little boy who says, I'm not a little boy, I'm a little prince. And then they learn about life and love and loss. So it's a really cool introduction for parents if they want to open up a conversation about what life is all about with their children or with their teenagers.
Have you been listening to the show this morning? I doubt, because you probably getting ready for
stand. I haven't, I'm afraid, because I was waiting for your call.
Do you see?
Divine synchronicity.
Exactly how it works. Jaco van Rensburg, I want to tell you the work that you do is incredible, and I want to congratulate you. And I can't wait till the day we sit there and say, in terms of theatre, ladies and gentlemen, Janice Honeyman, Bernard Jay, Hazel Feldman, Jaco van Rensburg, John Carney, and the names go on and on and on. Because
very
incredible, definitely
Kuhn.
Okay, and we want to add you to that list. So go and support The Little Prince. It's happening at the Peter Turin Theatre. It ends this week.
No, 25 October.
Oh, sorry, I lose
so we've
days.
We've got three
happened.
More weeks.
November.
Excuse me, November.
Yaku, you're still stuck in Avenue Q with the puppets. What is wrong with you?
I am. It's crazy. Things happen very fast.
Love you lots. Be good. Don't miss The Little Prince,
Alan.
Happening at the Peter Turin Theatre. It's going to be, it really is exceptional. And he does exceptional work. And then the Christmas Carol's coming. And it's kind of, I love what they're doing with space and time and good stuff. I love good things. Because no one understands something. And I'm going to say this to you, Elvis Blue, and to you, Doreen Morris, and to myself, Alan Ford, and hopefully to you, Ryan DeVilliers, that being a producer is very, very hard. Producing your own music, doing the stuff that you do, getting across, and doing what you it's not for sissies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that.
It's tough. It's very tough.
Because you're paying the bills, and you're like, the money's not coming in on time, and you still got to get the team on stage, and you still got to do the stuff. But you know the most important thing is that your resilience and the way you approach it, and you have use your friends wisely, kindly. And be kind to other people. I promise you it works well. It does it not?
Yes, absolutely.
Doreen, what can we expect in the next couple of years?
Next year, 25 years of democracy. Mm-hmm. Doing a big documentary about that. Mm-hmm. Just looking back on how far we've come. You know, have we delivered this Rainbow Nation dividend, especially from the youth perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Because, some of us remember, some of us could vote. Could you vote in the first elections?
No.
Nor could I.
I just missed it.
Of course.
I'm 70, 80, 79.
See? So, yes.
Sam,
so
Ryan was three.
Nine.
When were you born?
92.
What are you talking about? I mean, Madiba, Ilana Mad ran the Olympic and got a silver medal.
Barcelona Olympics, correct?
And who? And Amy Kleinhans held the white flag at that.
The Miss World pageant.
And at the Olympics.
You've got such a good.
I don't know where it comes from.
You've just got such an incredible memory.
I was 14. I was kind of cute and chubby, and nothing's changed much. I've been pregnant since I was 8. I just haven't the longest gestation on earth. I'd love to see what's born when it happens. It's going to be incredible.
So I've got that big documentary coming up. Touchwood, still, like you say, producer, still getting all of the finance in place. Because hopefully we'd wanted to go to air about the time when we go to vote next year. It's also an election year. And then two series coming up, commissioned for SABC. And then at the moment doing another series of documentaries for Via TV, just profiling incredible people from the so-called Cape Coloured community, unsung heroes. The most incredible stories. Last night we had a 114-year-old man on.
Wow. Yeah. We got to chat because I've got for ander dinge op kyk net en it's so lekker. And for a soti like myself, it's quite incredible. A lekker Lebanese soti, it's really, really cool. Elvis Blue, the album is Stories. I love the fact that you called it that, and the song is Spring.
Yes, man. I think this is the 7th album in the last 8 years. And I just want to keep doing this, man. This is what I've always wanted to do since I was 15 years old. So lucky to be able to do it. And hope to continue writing and telling stories with music for a long time.
Do you have a show that people can come and help me here? Because I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Help Doreen and I. Sorry, Doreen, but I've got to be like in this category. Because you're still in your 30s. And Donnie's still in your 20s. We'll work it out later. Yeah. But I'll tell you something now. How do we download the stuff? We can't buy CDs anymore. What happened?
Yeah,
we're Appling, we are tuning, we don't know how the cloud works, we're so confused.
Yeah, you must just go on your preferred store, streaming store. So it's Apple, so it's iTunes, or it's Jukes.
And we got Elvis Blue Spring.
Yeah, you can just search for Elvis Blue and my gevreet gaan daar opkom.
Yeah, lekker.
You know, so you will see it. Or if you're old school, you can pop into your CD store, you can buy it. And have fun.
Yeah, that's cool. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, you can have fun with it, you know. Put it in your car if your car still has a CD player.
Actually,
I don't know. I'm into the whole record thing. Rhonda Villiers. Matilda is exceptional.
It is.
And it goes from on the 2nd of it finishes here in Johannesburg at the Peter Tureen. And it moves off to Cape Town, your hometown.
Yes.
And wow, Cape Town's going to be blown away by it.
Yeah, I'm excited actually to go home and see the response over there. But I think people don't know, people aren't ready. Like we were all saying, the whole cast was saying how like South Africa's not ready. They don't know, like this production is just the quality. The kids are amazing as well. It's so inspiring to see the little kids like perform their hearts out every night. And like when you're tired,
brilliant.
You just watch these little kids performing and you're like, no, Ryan,
you can't. Shut up.
You can't. So, yeah. So,
and anything, the degree, becoming-ish, what else? What is your, Shakespeare? You said you want to do that.
I mean, everything. Yeah, I haven't trained in Shakespeare.
Greedy and hungry for everything. I read it in an interview.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever comes my way, like I'll audition for not anything, but like, you know, anything exciting. Yeah, hopefully also venture into film and TV as well. Like I'd really enjoy that too.
I want to thank my very, very special guest, Doreen Morris. I love you. Thank you for coming. It was my surprise of
such
my
privilege. I actually enjoyed this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Elvis Blue, my friend, so much, bless man. You so thank you. So very much. Ryan de Villiers, don't miss Matilda. Thank you. And you are like really an ugly woman. But a gorgeous man. But it's coming. It's honest. I'm not here to lie. You know, when someone's beautiful, you've got to say it. Jaco van Rensburg, The Little Prince, don't miss it. Please, the pantomime is so superb. Yeah. Go and see it. I promise you, it's mind-blowing. Yeah. Plus, everything that's going around, around the country, please take your kids. The TV ain't that good. Netflix, I'm with it, but kind of don't do it all the time. My name is Alan Ford. This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning to you. And to you, and especially to you.
This is CliffCentral.com.